Your reasons for listening to the show, well, those are your own. But just keep in mind that the views, information, or opinions expressed on the Tuttle Daily Podcast are solely those of the individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of our sponsors.
Yeah.
It's called free speech, people.
Nobody's forcing you to listen.
Get ready for your daily dose of Tuttle.
The all-time greatest intern/producer we've ever had, of course, Tuttle. Tuttle in Florida.
From the Hobo Fish Camp, it's the Tuttle Daily Podcast.
No wonder nobody likes you, Tuttle. Everything's a goddamn debate.
All right, guys, greetings and welcome to a Friday edition of the Tuttle Daily Podcast. I would like, I know Friday is not any different than any day of the week, but I like having some engagement. I like for people to call in. I got my friend, Reggie, from Yeah, I'm High Bitch merch. I think he's going to call in. Vulture, why didn't you say Lima Charlie? You know, you can't, like, if you want me to get used to the military lingo and stuff, you gotta be uniform, man. I know you're a Marine. You guys like to have things very uniformed and stuff. You would think that if you're going to use Lima Charlie all the time. What up, Little Lemmy? I got Little Lemmy's significant other is going to be on the show coming up here at 7:30. Granny is, he's part of the Bubba Army. I don't know. Maybe he isn't. But he knows me from the Bubba the Love Sponge show. And he is, I'm going to kind of give him the floor. He has a lot of questions for me. And not a lot of radio hosts and stuff would, you know, allow somebody to come on their show and just be the interviewer. But I talked to Granny. I've talked to him quite a bit. I got to tell you, talking to Granny sometimes is it's a little intense. And I know a lot of people could say the same thing about me. So what I'm trying to say is that this could be really, really good or really, really bad. I don't know. But I'm always down for something like that. Atomic Citizen, I know you didn't mean it, but, you know, I've gone through a Father's Day after my dad passing away and stuff, but this is one that I haven't been looking forward to because it was fresh. My dad died in May, so last year during Father's Day, it was just fresh, so now this is like the first Father's Day. So, Atomic Citizen. I don't know, man. I know you didn't know. I'm not mad at you or anything. But this is a Father's Day that I was kind of dreading. But also at the same time, I know Father's Day is just a holiday for the big gift cards, Hallmark and everything. To be able to make a bunch of money. I know you don't, Atomic, and that's why I said, but look, I'm not mad at you in any way. Before, in case my friend Reggie calls him, because I want to talk to him. He's a big Celtics fan. I want to talk a little bit about the NBA, as well as he has never watched hockey. And he's now watching the Lightning games and stuff. What up, Keith Avena? Atomic Citizen, look, I'm not saying anything bad. I was just saying, you know. Yeah, I know. It is what it is. Twisted Movies says, my daughter's birthday is today, which sometimes falls on Father's Day. Twisted Movies, I hope your daughter is having a great birthday as well. you know, it's funny because I think it's like every 4 or 5 years, my birthday falls on Thanksgiving. Because my birthday is November 24th. So, because Thanksgiving, I think, is like, what, like the third Thursday or the fourth Thursday? What up, Fish on J? Yeah, so, but I wanted to talk about this. I've gotten into a show. And you guys know with the mental issues that I've had dealing with, and I'm not comparing myself to the person on this show. I'm not comparing myself as having PTSD for a Marine that served in the military. This is one of the shows. Like, I know I'm late to the game. If anybody in the chat room, I want to get your, has anybody watched Barry on HBO? Because I got to say that it is one of my favorite new shows. Because I'll say this. Because Barry on HBO, Bill Hader stars in it. And you would think that Bill Hader, you would not be able, because I like shows that have a good mixture of comedy, dark humor, as well as having a little bit of a message. And when it first started off, I wasn't sure about it. But you gotta give it until about, just watch it the first season. The first season is a little goofy, but it also has some dark scenes in it. But man, oh man, does it get really twisted in the second season. I'm absolutely in love with it. And the only reason I decided to give the show a shot, X-Pac. Do you guys, if any of you guys are into wrestling, Sean Waltman, X-Pac, the Generation X, he's been following me. I've been following him for quite some time. And I saw him tweet out. He was like, if you're not watching Barry on HBO, you need to watch it. Because I think we need more shows that talk about mental illness or PTSD. You know, I'm not ready to talk about it. But if you're just new to the show, I suffer from childhood trauma. Little Lemmy say? My dad would come back and whoop my ass if I let his death destroy me. You raised me to be stronger than that. Lemmy, I agree with you on that. But you also got to realize, Lemmy, that other people deal with grief a little differently than everybody. And I'm glad Lemmy said that. My dad would come back with my ass if I let his death destroy me. And I'm glad you said that, Lemmy, because this is how I've been able to get through the loss of my dad. My dad was not scared of death at all. I'm not a religious person at all. I don't believe in somebody that is all in power, that knows everything that has happened, everything that's going to happen. No, I don't believe in that. But I also believe that energy never dies. Oh, hold on. Let me see. I don't know if this might be Reggie calling in. Tuttle Daily Podcast.
What's up, Tuttle? It's your boy, Jake. How you doing?
Jake. What's going on, man?
Dude, by the way, good luck on your interview.
Jake, I'm not trying. I was in a little bit of on a little bit of a roll, but I'm not. I don't want to be rude. I like you a lot and everything, but I wanted to get back into my point. So, what's going on, Jake?
To bother you.
No, stop apologizing, Jake. Stop apologizing.
All right, sorry, I didn't realize. I'll talk to you later.
Oh, God damn it. See, now Jake's going to be mad at me. And the thing is that I care too much about everything. But back to what I was saying is that my dad was not afraid of death. My dad was not afraid of death at all. He just wasn't. My dad was a religious guy. He believed in heaven and stuff, but I never, like, fought him on it. If somebody believes in religion and stuff, good for them. I do. So, what's going on here? This computer. So, I know that my dad was a man's man, would not want me to be sad one single day over his death. Like, he would want me to live the fullest life. And that's the only reason I went on that little bit of a rant. But back to the Barry thing. Barry on HBO, it is so good. It is brilliant. So if you have access to watch that on HBO and stuff, I really, really highly recommend it. Seriously, I do. You know what? He's been waiting for some time. I wasn't going to bring him on until 7:30. I'm going to bring Granny on. Granny, what's up?
Hey, what's up, Tuttle? How you doing, man?
Good, man. Yeah,
dude. Hey, can you hear me, everything?
Yeah, dude, do you got like a high power shop fan going on in the background?
Yeah, I kind of do. Give me a second.
It's not that bad now. It was just when I first came on.
Yeah, I do. It's hot as shit.
No, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. I was just asking. Now it's not that bad. What do you smoke a little Black and Mild there?
Yeah. I had a long, long day, so I'm gonna smoke a Black and Mild.
What happened?
I got backed into at a with my son.
Yeah.
In a parking lot, and the guy like almost crushed me in the door and stuff, and he wouldn't quit. He wasn't paying attention or whatever, and so I ended up back in the hospital because I thought I was dying this time. I think it was
Physically, did you think you were dying, or was it just in your head?
No, I think it was a little bit of both, man. I have a lot of long history of heart condition in my family and stuff, so it's a mixture of both. I do have to turn that fan back on a little bit because
turn it on. I mean, turn it on. I don't care. It's fine.
So I went there just to kind of get a resolution because I haven't gone over this with a lot of people, and I guess we could do a little bit of it here. I have been in and out for mental health. And I think physical health, but I haven't been treated very well during it. So it's been about, 5 days of this, man. I've just been like seeking treatment. And of course I'm broke or whatever. And I don't have money. So it's real hard for me.
I've been there, but can I just tell you like a lot of times that I've thought that it's my physical health and it hasn't, because when you get in your own head, I mean, the mind is a very powerful thing. It can make you feel worse than what you are actually feeling. Because I remember when I had my first panic attack, you just get in your own head and you just go over and over it, and you're like, it just snowballs.
Yeah, absolutely, dude. And you start blaming yourself for stuff that you can't control, and like it becomes overwhelming. I think the impending sense of doom is the most, but this time I was having chest pains and stuff. But I mean, so I've been in a lot of accidents. Like I hit a tree to an 80 and was never treated.
What happened there? What happened there? Like, how did you run into a tree to an 80?
I drank a 12 pack of Steel Reserve and half a bottle of fucking Powers Irish whiskey, and my friends carried me to the car to take them home. And I made a very fucking poor decision. And I ended up hitting a tree doing about 80 miles an hour.
Were you driving?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, I severely injured two of my best friends. They dealing with it.
You don't do that stuff anymore, right? I mean, you seem like a very responsible person and everything. And, you know, like, I'm not judging you. We all have at one time in our life driven when we shouldn't have. I've done it. We've all done it, I think.
Yeah, it was my fault. I should have said no. I mean, they helped me to the car, and I'm not blaming them for that, but they did get in, but it was my fault. And I'll tell you what, dude, you smack a fucking tree to an 80, you sober up real quick.
Call me Michaela once. I mean, are you down for asking any question or questions?
Absolutely. Yeah, I do feel
call me Michaela.
Guilt.
Do you feel guilty over that, Granny?
Absolutely. Absolutely, yeah. I made a really fucking poor decision, man. And I don't know how sometimes I just come out without smelling like a fucking rose because I didn't get in much trouble for it at all. All I got was a driving ticket.
How did that? Nobody ratted on you? Nobody, like, I mean, how did you get off? Because, you know, a lot of people would have gotten in trouble with that.
Well, so at first I lied and I told them because one of the people in my car was underage that he was driving because he would get in less trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a really fucking poor decision to make. So, I mean, of course, they're in the fucking hospital because once we hit the tree, we all just kind of, I mean, I woke up fucking like, have you ever played Grand Theft Auto?
Yeah.
Have you ever, like when you shoot somebody in Grand Theft Auto and they're like, they like lump over the steering wheel or whatever. That's how I woke up and I didn't really know what was going on or whatever. So,
somebody asked, are you admitting to being Nick Hogan?
No, because an Italian kid didn't lose his life.
Crush
Nobody
his head. And
lives.
So, yeah. All right. So before we get into this, one of the main reasons I wanted to have you on, you told me you have a lot of questions for me, and that's one of the one reasons I want to have you on, because not a lot of people would invite a guest on and have them on to just ask them any questions and stuff. And I don't know what questions you're going to ask. I don't.
No, we haven't prepped it. The only thing I asked you was if anything was off limits.
And I said no, and if I look. Nelly Mandingo says he has to know someone like a cop or a judge.
No, I don't, dude. I'm low middle class that I know, dude. I don't know anybody. I just, I got lucky a lot of times and I don't know. And I mean, I've outsmarted the police a bunch of times as well, but that's on them, not me, I guess.
I mean, are you trying to make changes and everything?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I have slip ups like we all do, but
what was your wake up call though? Like where you needed to start making some life changes.
Well, I quit playing a video game that I played for a long time. And it was extremely demanding on my brain, and I've been cutting back on my drinking again. But I do have slip ups and shit, but that was it, man. The guilt of neglecting my family and being selfish through my depression and my anxiety, my panic, and not seeking treatment is what made me make a change.
Did it take the loss or costing you of something or the fear of losing something to make you want to change?
I mean, I, through alcoholism and neglect, have like, I ruined one business. I rebuilt another one and we're doing good. We've got several contracts and stuff, but this time a guy owns it to where I can't fuck it up and he can do the paperwork correctly.
Yeah.
But it's been a long road, a lot of stress. I was working constantly and neglecting my family then. And then when I would come home, I would just get fucking shit hammered and, neglect them even further in my own selfishness. So okay. I'm trying to be a better person.
Look. I'm not judging you at all. And please don't, because you're going to be asking me some questions and stuff. But I saw you, taking a swig off of the old Bush Light there, Bush Light Tall Boy.
Yeah.
Like, I used to be that guy. I did used to be that person that, you know, oh, I think I could still do it, but I'm not. Like, I'll have two beers, and I think two beers, I'm like, oh, two beers makes me feel good. I'm going to have four beers. And I was like, oh, man, if I feel this good at four, I'm gonna drink eight. What yeah. are you doing to keep it under control?
Well, I'm just trying to be better, like, every day or whatever. And
I'm not judging in any way, because I
listen, I am shameless, Tuttle. You can't, think you're going to upset me. I will never get upset about any of this. I have to drink to not shake, I think. And then you're right, because, you know, an alcoholic never really stops at one. So, I mean, I'm trying. I have Wellbutrin and stuff that would make me, like, throw up and probably curb the side effects. But I don't know if I would be able to live without at least weaning myself off. Mm-hmm. And that's a hard thing to do for an alcoholic with bad self-control.
It's horrible, man. Like, I did it. You know, getting off of all the mood stabilizing drugs that I was on, that was horrible. Like, I just stopped them. And a lot of people told me that was really dangerous for me to do, but I did. I got off all the bipolar manic depressive and all the depression meds. I got off all of them. That was the worst withdrawal that I ever had.
Yeah. And see, luckily, man, the only problem I have is with alcohol. Like, I'm not a drug addict.
Have you ever done any?
Oh, yeah. Except for, like, the hard ones, bro. I've never done meth. I've never done heroin in the simple or injected anything.
I've never injected, but I've
yeah. If you want to get technical, isn't OxyContin basically heroin? So yeah, I've never taken one of those.
I have.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, and then the Roxy thing really disgusted me. Like, when all of it was going down here during the recession, bro, this place in Tampa, you know, it was an absolute just flood of OxyContin, and it destroyed a lot of people I went to school with. So I just got out of the.
Did you grow up in Florida?
Yeah, born and raised.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, is it off limits? Like, how did you meet Lemmy?
We were cousins at one point, but not by blood. No, it's not off limits. Nothing's off limits.
No, I was just curious. I was just curious because, like, you know, if I'm being honest, I had more interaction with her before I did with you. I mean, I always saw you in the chat room and everything. I knew you're a good dude and stuff, but does she ever call you on your shit?
Yeah. Yeah, she does. Absolutely. She's my rock. So, yeah, I think she doesn't think her words with me hold as much weight as they do sometimes. So, yeah, no, she's absolutely my rock. I think that she, while she can't all the time reel me in, is one of the only people that can. So,
has she ever given you an ultimatum?
Like,
you need to do this. Okay. All right.
Yeah. I won't answer that.
Okay. Then I hope I get that same type of, discretion on any of the questions that, you may have. I'm sorry. I'm just being an interviewer here and everything. All right. So you know what?
Can I say one thing?
Uh-huh. Go ahead.
Somebody, when I was in business for myself, because I used to do that a lot too, somebody gave me some really good advice once. And they said, especially in professional situations, apologize one time and let it go.
Okay. All right.
I'm just saying that because it helped me a lot.
All right. Well, I just don't want to pitch it. All right. So what I'm going to do is, I know you got a lot of questions for me and stuff. So I'm going to give you the floor. I'm going to let you interview me and let's see how this whole thing goes.
All right, well, let's start with your background a little bit. Why don't you tell us about your radio career, where you started, how you got here?
Yeah, well, I mean, I've talked about it a lot, but I started out with the Ron and Fez show in Daytona Beach back in 1999, moved to the Monsters of the Midday at that time. I worked at an easy listening station. Then kicked back to the Monsters of the Midday. Then I went to the Drew Garabo show at nights. Then he got let go, went to work with the Monsters, and they were in the mornings at that time. I bounced, I would help out with the Jim Phillips show, and I got fired from the Monsters in 2010. And then I ended up getting hired with the Bubble Love Sponge show. Didn't make it too long there. I ended up getting on with The Bone with Drew Garabo, and then I was with Mike Calta, and then I had, two or three stints with Bubba.
Where I thought you were with Delilah somewhere in that.
No. I was with the Easy Listening Station, okay. Magic 107.7 in Orlando.
All right. And so I remember one segment in particular. I guess it was when you were being hired for the Bubba the Love Sponge mm-hmm. show, and I. Did you really forge the documents? Did you really lie to get in there?
Did I lie? Yeah. I mean, if you were looking at it, but I did, but if I'm being honest, I just wanted to be on air. I wanted to be an on-air talent or do production just on the programming side of Bubba's show. And I heard that they needed a new webmaster, and I was like, okay, this is my foot in the door. I really didn't know that much. I know technology and websites and stuff like that. But what I ended up doing, I was like, yeah, I know how to do that stuff. And they were like, hey, what website have you done websites? I was like, yeah, of course. Yeah. But I was just talking about MySpace and Facebook. I had done that. And my whole idea was just to make it long enough that I could be weird enough or just, be outrageous that they would give me a chance to come into the studio, and I was able to make that happen.
Right, and so you probably did that because you thought that as long as you got in there, you had the confidence to back it up.
Oh, yeah,
right?
Yeah. And I still think one of the funniest segments I ever did was that first day.
It was great. It was funny.
That first day that I did on Bubba's show, because nobody had ever seen anything like me. And I don't have a big ego or anything like that, but they just didn't know how to take me. The other people on the show, behind the scenes and everything, they just did not know how to take me. And I was just over the top. I didn't care. I made an ass out of myself or anything like that. I had studied Bubba. I knew what Bubba liked. And I just was going to go for it. Like, I wasn't trying to impress anybody on the show. I was just trying to impress the main cast. I was trying to impress Bubba, Brent, Spice, and Manson. Those were the only people that I didn't care about anybody else in the background.
Yeah, and I think you succeeded at that. I mean, that, like I said, that segment was fucking amazing, and you nailed it, and I think you did exactly what you intended to, was show them that you had the talent to be on mm-hmm. air, and that was your ultimate goal.
Yeah, no, I mean, I ended up still getting fired in about a week and a half, but Bubba started bringing me back for bits and random stunts and everything, and then I eventually worked my way back. I did.
Now, why did he do that? And you don't have to tell me why you were fired, but do you think it's because he knew that you were good at what you did? He didn't want to deal with you?
I mean, they had a lot of big personalities on the show at the time.
Yeah.
He just needed somebody to do the website stuff, because he was making, at that time, he was making a lot of money off of Bubba Raw. So that was very, very important. I remember I took all of his websites down, and I didn't do it on purpose. It was just me making a mistake and stuff. And it happened on a Friday, and I had already been because I was living in Orlando. So I was driving from Tampa. I was already back in Orlando until I found out that I had taken all of his websites offline because I messed up on something. And then he just fired me after that.
Okay, so it was a legitimate mistake that you made that you were fired for.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, that's cool, man. I didn't want to get there. I mean, no, I do remember another scene. Uh-huh. I'm not super familiar with your work, because I've had a long day, and I can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Just bring it.
Another one I remembered was the flower pot scene.
Flower pot.
You were buried half in a big flower pot.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. What they were doing, this is when we were, the war on terrorism and stuff. They wanted to see how it was to be stoned. Not getting high on weed, but to be stoned. But they couldn't throw real rocks at me, so they buried me up to my waist, and they threw hard racquetballs at me.
And you consented to all that, right?
Yeah. I consented to everything.
Yeah, no, I know. And I, Tuttle, I know you were afraid. I want everybody to know this isn't a Bubba burial. I don't dislike Bubba. Well, I don't know if I can say that. I respect Bubba for what he does. We're just going over the past. That's it. There's no animosity or anything.
No, but like, all right. So, I'm curious because a lot of people misunderstand Bubba. Now, have I had my differences with him? Yeah, I have. Now, looking back on it, maybe it wasn't as bad as it was. But what is your problem with Bubba? If you had to, what some of the things that you dislike about him then?
I think he's in a complete narcissist. I think that he has an ego and power problem.
You're naming all the qualities that a radio host has to have.
They don't have to have that.
Yeah, they
don't use that word because I know that's not true, Bubba or Tuttle. They don't have to have that. And if you believe that and you think that radio is still going forward, I don't know if you, because if they don't, people don't want to listen to that shit anymore. People don't want to listen to some guy who's being a man's man and won't budge on mental health. And so, you know, as well as I do, that when you quit that show or were fired, that was probably the turning point with me for Bubba. And as a mental health advocate now, I rewatched it, and it was stressful to watch as well.
Hold on. Let me say that. Tuttle, you said yourself that I would make a great radio broadcaster. Do you think I'm any of those things? No, but you, and I've always thought this, if you, Lemmy, and I'm talking to Lemmy and I'm talking to Granny right now, if you think that people need to hear your voice, need to hear your opinion on things, you have to, I'm not saying you're egotistical, but you have to have a little bit of an ego. Will you guys give me that?
Yeah, absolutely.
At the very least.
I have an ego as well. I mean, I'm not, again, this is the pot calling the kettle black. If you would have saw some of the shit I was saying to somebody last night, you'd be like, yeah, no, this dude is being a hypocrite right now, because I am a bit.
No, but I'm just saying, if you want to host a podcast, if you, if you're on social media in general, you have to have a little bit of an ego that you would think that people would want to follow you in any way to hear your opinion and stuff.
Absolutely. But the difference I think there is that you don't have to do it with cruelty, and you can treat people with respect, and you will get more production out of them not acting like a tyrannical asshole.
Okay, but I would also at the same time think that, because Bubba was, but would you admit that Bubba has grown a little bit from back in the day?
No, absolutely, man. And he finally admitted, and at the time that you were being fired, he said this, he was going through the same stuff that you were. So I think he was projecting it in that show a lot.
Yeah.
And he was blaming you for his own mental struggles.
Yeah. What did you feel about when I got let go out of, because I'm curious to hear what everybody's thoughts on. Because I have mine, but I would like to hear yours and maybe hear the people in the chat room. Like, what are your thoughts when I got out of the hospital and I got let go? Do you think I dug my own grave? Do you think I got railroaded? Like, what's your opinion?
I think you got railroaded, and I think that after reading case law a little bit, you probably had a case to go after Bubba for, unqualified termination. That's probably not the right terminology.
Well,
but
I mean, Florida is a right-to-work state.
It is a right-to-work state, but employees still have rights, and yours were violated a bunch, I think. I'm not a lawyer. This isn't, but just I do this for fun, so I like it, but I don't think you can fire somebody because they were mentally ill and then you antagonize them into being more mentally ill.
Well, I mean, you know what? I was going to say it, but Vulture brought it up. My producer, Vulture, says that's why they got rid of him, to rid of liability.
Yeah, he's absolutely right. Because his lawyers told him that you were a liability. And honestly, that show, and you know that I've watched it today, so I'm pretty fresh with it. He set that ambush up, and he had no intentions of not ambushing you and making you feel more mentally ill after you were in one of the worst spots of your life.
So, but at the same time, though, I wasn't in the right headspace. I mean, I don't know, man. I mean, there's a lot of things that I could have done differently. At the time when I got let go, I thought I got railroaded and stuff. But now looking back on it, like if I would have been in the right headspace, there's a lot of things that I did wrong. I did.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not saying you're not to blame, Tuttle.
Mm-hmm.
And in the chat, Twisted Movies said that they can fire you for anything at any time. Not true. They can fire you for mistakes. They cannot fire you for medical reasons. And that was a medical reason. And I believe that's why he did it. And that's why he was told that he needed to sever himself from Tuttle. And so he made it look like it was Tuttle's fault and then drove him into quitting. Mm. I mean, that's my honest opinion.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I now, if I'm being honest, though, now looking back on it, the best thing that probably happened to me was Bubba firing me, though.
Oh, absolutely. I'm not saying, again, you're both to blame. It was a give and take. That's the thing. But we should still be able to talk openly about it. And Bubba has a hard time with criticism. And that's exactly why he flipped out on you and then didn't. Like, I was watching it and you were saying that, like, yeah, I talked about you and stuff to the therapist and he got upset with you. That you talked about him openly. I just don't understand that. He should have embraced your problems and been like, okay, that's cool. Let's talk about it. What did I do wrong? Instead of just completely saying, I refuse to change. I'm right. You're wrong. This situation is all mine and you have no say in it.
Okay. But, you know, if I was thinking correctly, I probably shouldn't have talked about what, you know, it was a case of me being way too open and honest. Let's even go back before that. If I would have never even talked about trying to harm myself hours or even an hour and a half after I tried to do it, I would have never gotten Baker acted. I would have never gotten sent to a hospital. I never would have had to like spend 9 to 10 days in there and stuff. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So if I just would have kept my mouth shut.
I get that. But he also did contribute to your depression through the drinking and everything like that instead of seeking you help. Again, there's no blame there. You did all of it. You did it.
Yeah, so I did.
This is a two-way street.
He didn't force me. He did not force me at all. Now, and the thing is, at the time, if I'm being honest, I thought it was funny. I thought that's what the listeners wanted. I thought the listeners wanted to hear the train wreck Tuttle. You know, Bubba never told me if I did not drink that he was going to kick me out of the studio. You see what
fair.
I'm saying? But I thought it was entertaining. I thought people got a kick out of seeing the train wreck Tuttle.
Right. But my problem with that, Tuttle, is that Bubba, as the not drunk person that isn't struggling mentally and on antidepressants, should have stopped it because that was the responsible thing to do. Instead, he did it for content and pushed you into it a little bit.
Yeah.
No, he didn't push you. What Vulture said, I don't even think encourage. He encouraged and persuaded you into it.
Yeah, I mean, I can see your point and everything, but I got to take responsibilities. As me, as a recovering alcoholic and stuff, I got to take responsibility for my own choices. You see what I'm saying?
You should. Yeah, absolutely. When was the last time you Googled yourself, Tuttle?
I stopped doing it.
Can I read something to you? Because there's when you Google Patrick, in quotes, Tuttle Fowler, mm-hmm. that's your name.
Yeah.
It comes up. The first thing is your Facebook, which is cool.
Well, it's why was Tuttle fired, probably, right?
No. It's the Urban Dictionary that you should probably go remove. Patrick Tuttle Fowler is a member of the on-air talent of the Bubba the Love Sponge radio show based in Tampa, Florida. He is a self-described alcoholic with depression and ADD. He has quit and or been fired from the show at least 5 times in the past decade, only to be rehired each time. He is known for his gross out stunts, self-deprecating humor, impeccable comedic timing, asinine interviews, yellow teeth, mustard mouth, and his ability to have complete nervous breakdowns on any given show.
If I'm being honest.
Wasn't that written on air?
It might have been, but at the same time, you know what though? Like I used to get upset about what people said and stuff. But I really don't. As long as you're talking about me, I really don't give a fuck. I really don't. Here, hold on. Vulture says he encouraged it. Nedley Mandinga wrote, Bubba can just say sorry once and not worry about it again. And then Atomic Citizen writes, firing someone for drinking on the job is low-hanging fruit. And then Atomic Citizen also writes, now remember, do not start besmudging Bubba. We have a Twitch stream oath here, folks. The rules between Twitch streamers is different than TOS. What is TOS?
Terms of service. And he's absolutely correct. And that's why I'm saying we are not Bub. We haven't mentioned this channel at all.
We're just having an open discussion here. And I'm telling you how I really felt.
Yeah, we're talking about mental health. This has nothing to do. We don't hate Bubba. It's not a Bubba shame party. We're just talking about the situation.
I'll say this up front. I had a name for myself when I worked at Real Radio 104.1 in Orlando. I became a better broadcaster because of Bubba. Because he gave me an opportunity to be able to get mic time. You know, like if you're an athlete, the more practice you get, the more shots you get. If you're a baseball player, the more cuts you take in the batting cage and stuff, you're going to get better. The thing about the radio business is that the only way you're going to get practice is being on the air, no matter what. And Bubba took a chance. And no matter what anybody wants to say about Bubba or how he treated me or whatever, I'll never forget that the guy took a chance on me and gave me a chance to sit in as a co-host every single day, and it made me a better broadcaster.
Absolutely, man. And Bubba's a, I don't know if he's a good teacher, but he is a great broadcaster, and he's been doing it for a long time. You should completely respect him for his ability to do it. I just think that this specific situation was handled poorly. And I think that as an advocate for mental health, it's something that needs to be discussed because it is open public stuff. And Atomic, he's more than welcome to come on here with us, I believe. Right, Tuttle?
I mean, he can, but I mean, I don't expect him to. But also at the same time, you know, like, look, I've gone through points in my life that I've just motherfucked Bubba to the end of the world when I've gotten fired. But this last time, I just made a promise to myself. I don't want to have enemies in the business. I don't.
And I'm at the same place, Tuttle. I've spent my entire fucking life pissing people off. I'm one of, in the town I'm from, I literally, we took a poll. on a very huge forum one time, and it was, who do you hate most in town? And the closest person to me had 7 votes, and I had 148. I know what it's like to have an ego and be a dick and piss everybody the fuck off. I think I'm still doing it a little bit.
Ma'am. So what's your plans this weekend? You got to start getting some sleep, man.
Yeah, I'm going to get some sleep tonight. I had a really long day in the hospital again. I'm going to get some sleep. I'm going to get up in the morning and go finish a little job. I'll probably take my son this time again and get him some cars and stuff and hang out with the family.
How long you and Lemmy been together?
I believe it's been like 7 years, but I'm really bad with
you
time.
You shouldn't say believe.
Numbers.
I'm bad with time as well, too. But
I don't know how old I am most of the time, bro.
You're a lucky man, though.
I know. Trust me, I know.
Like, I mean, you don't get a chick that looks like that and has that, like, sense of humor. You know, just somebody that you can hang out with. I know you already know that. I'm just trying to give you props is what I'm trying to say.
Well, thank you. I know I'm a lucky man. And again, you see,
how'd you guys meet?
What I was talking about.
She talked. Did she she hit on you first, or did you like hit on her? Like, who was the one that pursued each
other?
So
actually, that's a weird story in itself. All right. So I explained that we were cousins, almost step cousins. Basically, her stepfather's brother was dating my mom. So that's
some
how we
Florida
met.
Shit there. That's very Florida.
Yeah, but they're from Alabama, so I don't really
Well, I mean, it's still south.
So they divorced, or they were never married. My mom and her and that person split up, and we didn't see each other for a really
Manu
long time.
Manu says you got a great Florida tan.
Do I?
Well,
it's called Florida leather purse.
Yeah. Do you frost your tips?
No, I'm gray. That's gray.
Oh, it is gray. Okay.
You're not the first person to ask that, and honestly, that's the most insulting thing you've said to me all night. No. So then. Then I started. So the only job I've really ever done other than UPS and stuff was I can make eyeglasses also. I know how to make eyeglasses. And her mother came in for eyeglasses, and I hadn't seen her in a really long time. So when I saw her name on the thing, I went out and spoke with her. And I think she probably talked to her or to talk to Lemmy about it. And a couple years later, she was in a marriage for a while.
Yeah.
A long time, 10 years previous to me. And, she messaged me, and I had been drinking, and when she messaged me, she was kind of hitting on me, and I didn't really interpret
it that
way.
What'd she say? Like, I mean, did she?
It's been a long time, but I interpret it as her just reaching out, and then at the end of the conversation, I thought that she was she was playing for the other team, if you will.
Oh, wait, whoa. Wait a minute. You thought lesbian,
yes.
Lemmy. I was trying to say Lemmy, but then I said lesbian. So for real?
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. Yeah, and I think I might have said something rude. I was like, thanks, or whatever, but I don't swing that way or something. I don't know what I said exactly.
So many people are saying Little Lizzie.
Yeah, and this is true. This has all happened.
Why did you think that, though? Can I ask you?
Dude, I don't really remember. No, it's been so long ago. Like, this, we're talking 15 years ago, dude. I don't recall exactly what. I was drunk, too. So, I mean, I don't really know, but that's the conclusion I got. And we never spoke again after that until I stopped smoking cigarettes. I stopped drinking as much. I couldn't give it up, but I quit smoking cigarettes. And I started working out, and I was skateboarding everywhere, man. I had a car and stuff, but I just really liked skateboarding. Dude, I would skateboard like 10 miles a day at that point.
Yeah.
And I finally went out to a very small town called Salt Springs in Florida. It's in the Ocala National Forest.
I know where it is.
And I saw her on Plenty of Fish, and I was like, oh, that's weird. Maybe she changed her ways or something. Let's reach back out. And that's what I did. And it's been just gold ever since.
All right. Hey, yeah. I'm going to wrap this up. Do you got one final question for me, and then promote any of the streaming stuff that you or Lemmy have going on before I let you go?
Actually, yeah, I do have one final question for you. Do you know what superposition is?
Please explain.
Okay, superposition is a quantum fundamental. Was your father, what kind of religion was he? Was he Catholic?
He, like, probably most, he just, I don't think he ever, like, see, because when you get in the South, there's, like, so many, like, different sects of religion. You got Baptist, you got Southern Baptist, you got Presbyterian and stuff like that. And he just believed in a higher power.
That's cool, man. So, listen, with my mental health struggle, the only person that ended up counseling me and, like, that I believed was qualified to do it ended up being a very old Irish priest. And I explained to him that I listened to a song called Superposition. I didn't know what it was. Lemmy had to explain it to me. And superposition is a quantum fundamental. So they know it's real. They just can't prove it. That explains that a single particle can be in multiple places at one time, communicate with each other, and also be at one place in one time. Yeah. And it's weird how that lines up with the Holy Trinity after speaking with the priest.
Yeah.
And to me, I think I found faith in that, because that's weird. Like, why could something survive and communicate with each other while it's split so much and then also be one?
Because of the multiverse. I mean, if I'm just being honest, like, I mean, I don't know, man. There's so many things we're never gonna fucking understand. and I think I have peace in that. Like, I have peace in that. Like, maybe there's some things that we just, you know what? They talk about faith and religion and everything, and I don't believe in religion. I don't believe in a higher power that knows everything or controls everything. I don't. But I also have faith in that what's meant to be is meant to be. There's nothing we can do about it. We're flying around on a rock that's revolving around a sun, and that solar system is revolving around a goddamn black hole. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, we'll never understand. And you know what? I spent a lot of my life trying to and thinking that I could. And you're right, Tuttle. It's nice to humble yourself and just go, fuck it, I don't know. Let's be good people every day. Let's cross that bridge when we get there and not have regret or anything, like, with what we do. And if you make mistakes, correct them. I do know you got to get out of here, so I'm going to go ahead and pitch it and fucking leave.
Yeah, no, man. I enjoyed this. Hopefully, I mean, were you happy with it?
Absolutely. This was fantastic. I would always do it again. I had a great time.
Hey, man, just take care of yourself, man. Like, I know I'm the last person that should be telling you that and everything, but, you know, like, you're a good dude.
Thank you, Tuttle. And I appreciate the compassion. Lemmy will be on 8 o'clock-ish tomorrow morning. I will be on at 4. We have the Reverend. I got a reverend, an ex-reverend, ex-traveling reverend that's going to be on with me. We're going to discuss mental health and religion as well. So,
all right, man. Well, listen, tell Lemmy I said hi. I appreciate you coming on. Hopefully you liked it. Like,
yeah,
you did. Lemmy said the good Reverend Robbins.
Yeah. Yeah. That's who's going to be on. No, I absolutely enjoyed it. Tuttle. Mm-hmm. I would do this again. I really appreciate you giving me the opportunity because I'm learning a lot from you.
What's the best thing? Lemmy, like, do you, all right, so let me ask you, do you, cook anything for Lemmy? And what's the best thing you cook for, or what would Lemmy say is the best thing if you make a meal or cook for her? And what is, in your opinion, what would Lemmy say is, like, the best thing she cooks for the family?
I cook shrimp ramen pretty good for her, and she cooks everything fantastically for us. Mm-hmm.
But what's that one thing you're like, though? But, like, if she cooks everything, you're just like, oh, man, this is, you know, like steak night or like bologna and egg sandwich night, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
What is it? Like, what's your favorite thing is what I'm asking.
What's my favorite? It's cheese ravioli with Italian sausage.
Sounds good. All right, man. Hey, I enjoyed this. I hope you have a great night, okay?
Thank you, man. I enjoyed it, too. Have a good one.
All right, man. See ya. All right, guys. I'm going to get out of here. Hopefully, you guys enjoyed tonight's show. It's been a great week of broadcasting. Lemmy, hopefully, you guys were okay with that. Thank you, Lemmy. I really appreciate it. Anyways, guys, I'm going to get out of here because it's been a long week. I'm loving the new job that I have. I love it because it's taking a lot of stress off of my mom and stuff, bringing in some money. So I'm doing well right now. And I'm going to get into maybe into next week some of the stuff that I'm having a hard time dealing with. I like to keep the shows fun, guys. But I also think that you guys like it when I'm being real. Like when I'm just being open and honest with you. Because there's not a lot of people. There's not a lot of people on the internet. There's not a lot of people on terrestrial radio that's going to be open and honest in the way that I feel. I'll leave you with this. You really should not judge people that you think everything's going well, because one of the biggest things that I have a problem with as of late, I'm not sleeping. And just from self-reflection and just being honest with myself, the reason I'm not sleeping, like, because I'll stay busy during the day. And when I stay busy, I don't think about my problems and stuff. But at the end of the night, when everybody's in bed, I don't have people to be able that I can call and talk to. My mom's all taken care of and stuff. Is the loneliest time of the day. It is. The loneliness that I'm going through in my life at some times is just unbearable. And I also, I second guess myself that if I should even talk about that because of what the dumbass stuff that I've done in my past and everything, because I don't want people to think that, I am going to do something stupid like I did in the past. No, I'm not. I'm never, ever going to do that again because guess what? I got too many people that rely on me now. And when I did that, I had both of my parents and stuff. But if I would have been successful, I wasn't thinking about what it would have done to my parents. And now, I'm the only thing that my mom has. She has friends and stuff, but the loneliness that I have. And I try to meet people. I do. Most of my friends are on the west coast of Florida, Tampa area, the Gulf of Mexico and everything, that area. And I got friends over here, but not friends that I hang out with all the time and stuff. And I go on, you know, I still every once in a while get on dating apps trying to meet people. Not even just a romantic relationship, just to make friends and stuff. And, you know, I get, you know, st- stood up or people telling me that they'll give me excuses, let's reschedule. It does happen. You know, if it wasn't for people like Vulture and my friend Amy Sinha, I've had her on the show a couple of times. If it wasn't for Amy, talking to her, and I even feel bad because I've been so busy with this new job and stuff. Sometimes I neglect talking to her, but she's also like 5 hours ahead of me. I get along with her like really, really well and stuff. I hate going a day without talking with her. But also just having that in person, even if it's male, female, just anybody. Yeah, a lot of people have dropped off, so I don't think anybody's interested in hearing me talk about my problems and stuff. So I'm going to get out of here, guys. Really hope you guys enjoyed this week's shows. Hopefully you guys stay safe. Hopefully you enjoy your weekend, and I'll talk to you on Monday.